Good morning. It is well with my soul. Amen. All right. I'm excited about this message this morning. And we're going to have a little fun. Is that okay? You know, I believe that God definitely has a sense of humor. And let's leave that alone, right? Well, I'll wait till Miss Elaine gets back, and I'll tell you a secret about that one. Maybe when she gets back tonight, that'll be great for tonight. And speaking of tonight, I'm really excited about this Valentine's dinner. Definitely want to thank the youth for putting that on, and all the folks that donate and make that happen. I heard that we're going to be playing a newlywed, what's it called, newlywed game? Or how well do you know your spouse game? Oh, they did? Wow. All I can say is, bring it on. That's awesome. I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be fun. And what's that? Oh, yeah, I'm going to be participating. We've been practicing. We've had mock runs. Have they? Oh, okay. That's awesome. Oh, Glenn came up with questions? Oh, Jesus. No offense to our Catholic brothers. All right, so let's go ahead and get started. I think I have a lot here. I want to present to you what I feel like the Lord's laid on my heart. And everybody hear me? The mic's okay here? All right, so let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, again for being able to come into your house and worship you and lift up your name and gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ and laugh and encourage and each other during these days, Father. And Lord, thank you for the beautiful weather. And Lord, we thank you for your son Jesus who came and died on the cross for us. Lord, we lift all the families who lost folks during this last week. And we just, all the sickness that we hear about, you know, we're constantly asking for prayers for cancer and all these different things. We just lay all these needs at the foot of the cross and ask you to help us and help the ones that are suffering, Lord. You know, this morning, Father, I ask you to help me share this word so they can minister to folks and make a difference in their lives, Lord. And we know it's all about you. It's all about your word. It's all about your love. And Holy Spirit, you're definitely welcome in this place. And we love you and ask for your guidance. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. And I've done something a little different this morning. I got all the scriptures out of the New Living Translation. I hope everybody's okay with that. But it just kind of fit really well with the message this morning and the language, the easy English language. So I just went with that this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. And so let's read. Today's message is about marriage and relationships. Since we're kind of on this Valentine's topic, I thought we would revisit some scriptures. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. It says, "Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Make allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace." Amen? Amen. Okay, we're gonna bounce around in this scripture throughout the whole message. Okay, Ephesians 4, verse 2 and 3. All right, one thing we need to lay some groundwork here in regards to marriage is, and some of you, you don't need me to tell you this, you know, you've been married long enough. So if you're in here and you're young or you're maybe a teenager or whatever, just listen up, take good notes. And for some of you, I'm going to try to dust off some cobwebs. And we'll see what God's Word has to say about marriage and relationships. One thing we need to understand is this. We know that marriage is the holy union of two sinners. Amen? So you can't forget that one. We're going to focus on three things that this scripture brings out in Ephesians. One is to be humble. And I call these marriage tips. And Lynn and I have we've been happily married for 33 years in July. 33 years, God has blessed us. Matter of fact, I forgot to say this earlier, but we're not going to be here next Sunday, and we're going on a Valentine's Day cruise. We take a 5 or 7 day cruise every Valentine's for the last 4 or 5 years, something like that, and we put it on layaway back in the summer. And I call it, put it on layaway back in the summer. We pay it off and we're going to enjoy ourselves and have a good time and travel down the Western Caribbean and that kind of thing. It's a very cheap vacation. We've never done it. It's awesome. We love it. We stay away from the crazy folks. And matter of fact, I'm doing a church service on the cruise on the Sunday morning. There's another pastor that we met on this Facebook thing, and there's like 240 something people that's in this page. Is going to be on the cruise, and he's going to do, me and him, we're going to tag team and do a church service. Carnival's giving us a big room to do a church service, so that's awesome, isn't it? So I'm looking, kind of looking forward to that. It's going to be good. So I'm going to preach in shorts and flip flops. So I'm excited. There's a young man that's going to be filling in the pulpit. His name is Russell Proctor. He's a co-worker of mine. He's a great young man, middle 30s. He's ordained minister, and he's really excited about the message he has for you guys. Good Baptist young man, and so deacons have okayed for him to come in and share with you. So I think that'll be exciting. Amen? So let's look at these marriage tips that we've been talking about. The first one, we're going to go through all three that this scripture in Ephesians is bringing out. It says we need to be humble. We need to be gentle. And we need to be patient. And looking at the foundation of this whole scripture is the foundation of this is to be quick to forgive based on love. Okay, so we're going to look at humble, gentle, and patience. The first one is humble. In a good, healthy marriage, each spouse in a relationship would need to be humble. And the Word of God talks about that many, many times. Okay, be humble. Look up the Greek word humble. It means to have an opinion of oneself as a low position. In other words, we have to be able to see in our mind ourself in a low position. That's what humble means. It's totally, completely opposite of pride. But in a marriage, we've got to be able to see and stay humble in this marriage. Philippians 2, 3 and 4 says this, don't be selfish. Amen. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. It says, be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. That's Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Guys, we all know if you've been married for a while, selfishness will destroy a marriage. Self-centeredness and selfishness will destroy a relationship. If you look up in the Greek and that word in the Philippians, in selfishness, it means, check this out, it means to promote oneself as better than the other party. It's kind of where we get the English word, and this is a crazy word, so excuse me if I don't get it right, like an election, like politicians having elections, and that word in the Greek means Leon's typing it for me. He's like, you sure this is the right word? Electomering. Take that one now, right? Electomering. It's kind of like engineering. It's kind of like electomering. It's like you're engineering a campaign, like politicians do, in downing the other person to increase yourself. Isn't that interesting? And what fascinates me is how God's Word, when you really get into studying it and really studying it, it just brings out these really small things, you know. But in a healthy marriage, whoa, you can never put yourself, put your spouse down, especially in front of others, right? You put them down. And that whole politician-looking thing is trying to make yourself look good and putting other people down. Very dangerous. It's the epitome of selfishness and self-centeredness. So the Bible in Philippians is warning us not to do that. Now, men, I'm going to pick up men. Is that okay? Who said that's great? All the women, right. Okay, be careful not to treat your wives as less than you. Be humble and grateful to God has given you a helpmate. Right? When God created Eve, he took the flesh out of his side, right? He took what he needed out of the man's side. He did not take what he needed out of the man's head, the cranium bones up here, nothing, right? So the woman could be head. And we all know the Bible says the man is the head of the household, right? So that's another subject. But God did not take what he needed out of the man's foot either. So that the man can be, So the man could have a foot on his wife either, right? He did not do that. God took it out of the side so that he can be a helpmate, to come alongside with us, to join us in the adventures that God has for our marriage and our children and our life. That's what he meant for that. To come alongside as a partner. And yes, there's many, many, many times when the man needs to take the first step to be the leader of the home, right? That kind of thing. And that takes faith and all that. Men, don't fall for what's called manism. I didn't make this up. I heard this on Kayla, the radio station. And I like to wreck my car, you know. Men don't fall for manism. And this is all about being humble in regards to what was in the scripture. Now, ladies, you might get a little chuckle out of this. You ready? This is manism. It's when a man tries to teach a woman something he thinks she doesn't understand, but she does, and she just patiently puts up with his manly arrogance. Any women know what I'm talking about there? Look at the men. They're all sitting there like, man, I'm not sure about you this morning. How many of you have had manism before? Come on, raise your hand. I have. Look at Bonnie. She's throwing Chuck's hand up in the air. Manism. Jeremiah 9, verse 23, says, this is what the Lord says. Don't let the wise boast in their wisdom, or the powerful boast in their power, or the rich boast in their riches. This is the Word of God, guys. This is the Word of God teaching us really how to have a healthy, long-lasting marriage, or even a relationship with just other people. Well, we have to be humble, have a humble spirit about us and a teachable spirit about us. 2 Corinthians 11:30 says, if I must boast, I would rather boast about the things that show how weak I am. I pray that we be humble with each other. Be humble with your spouse. Amen? Marriage tip 2 says, be gentle. Be gentle. If you look up that Greek word, gentle, it means mildness of disposition. Being mild, mildness of disposition. Okay, I looked up what disposition really means, and it means a person's inherent qualities of mind and character. I'm going to say that again. It means a person's inherent qualities of their mind and their character. In other words, it's how they think and how they act and behave. And the Bible is instructing us to be gentle, to have a gentle spirit about you. In James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, it says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. It says human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. See, a gentle spirit will listen and talk less. Now, back to men. Men, our wives, most of the time, just wants us to listen. They just want us to listen. If she's had a hard day at work or a hard day doing this or that, just listen. Don't talk. Just listen. Be humble and be gentle and listen, David. Right? Just listen. Women, you ready? You have to understand us men. We just want to fix things. It's in us. God created us that way. When we see a problem, we want to jump right in and try to fix it. So ladies, in this gentleness area that the Bible is talking about, we need you to be patient with us and understand that we're trying all within us to calm ourselves down, calm down these natural desires that God gives us, these desires that want to rescue you. These desires within us to want to fix all your problems. Because we so desperately love you, we want to get in there and fix it. So you have to be patient with us when sometimes all you want is just a listening ear. Amen? A gentle spirit is slow to get anger. Proverbs 15:1 says a gentle answer deflects anger. But harsh words makes tempers flare. So guys, this scripture is instructing us, commanding us to be quick to forgive, to be gentle, to be humble with each other, to be kind. See, when it gets heated up sometimes, because you can't be married a long time without things kind of getting heated up, right? You know, I'm not saying we need to fight and fuss, but I mean, there's times you're going to have disagreements and maybe arguments and you're going to, you know, that kind of thing, right? But when things get heated up, we need to be quick to remind ourselves, remember that character, the mind and how we act? We need to be quick through prayer and that humble spirit, be quick to remind ourselves that our spouse is not perfect. And that we definitely are not even close to being perfect either. Amen? And so when you recognize, you start seeing fault, or they did this, or they did that, and boy, that's getting on my nerves. You need to be so quick to turn it around and know that, well, you know, I've done my fair share too, right? You know, I've messed up too, and I don't need to hold no resentment. I don't need to hold no bitterness. I need to forgive. I need to be quick to forgive. And I really think, honey, I mean, that's one of the foundational principles in our marriage, you know, that God's blessed us with the ability to be so quick to forgive, you know, and to forgive each other when I act like bonehead, you know. You see that? That's black belt move right there. Amen? Quick to forgive. Okay? We need to extend each other grace. How much more has God extended His grace to us, right? We need to extend this grace to our spouse. Extend this grace to each other. And be quick to forgive. Colossians 3. Colossians 3, 12 and 15. It's a long scripture. I'm going to read it to you here. You ready? Colossians 3, 12 and 15. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, praise the Lord, gentleness and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. And remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you're called to live in peace. And always, always be thankful. Man, that touches my heart, y'all. I'm telling you. Be humble. Be gentle. And the third marriage tip is to be patient. Have patience. Be patient with one another. Now, here's an interesting twist I found very fascinating. Is if you look at the Greek word in that particular sentence there in Ephesians, the original Ephesians that we read first, is that it means long-suffering. And this long-suffering, when you really look it up, what it means is as if we are co-bearers of troubles and ills. You ever thought about it like that? That's what I mean. To be co-bearers with the troubles that come along in life and with the ills and sicknesses and things that go on. We're co-bearers. We're there together. Reminds me of this. You ready? I, Dallas, take you, Lynn, to be my lawfully wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. We need to be patient with one another. Enduring the good times, the challenging times, and the bad times. We need to be there for each other. Be patient means to hang in there with each other. Stick it out with each other. Don't give up on each other. Be there. My sweet wife has been with me for the last 2 or 3 months. Even last night, I woke up about 2 o'clock just hurting. And I couldn't lay down. I couldn't do that. I could go in a recliner. And I was just laying there hurting. And I'm not looking for sympathy. I don't care about that. I'm just want to honor her. She's getting up at night, 2 o'clock in the morning, and there, pulling a chair up my recliner, rubbing my feet and rubbing my legs and rubbing. Last night, for 30 minutes or 45 minutes to the point where I almost fell asleep, and I saw her stretching her back like it was hurting her back. And I just felt so bad. And I said, honey, please go back to bed and lay down. That's love, y'all. You know what I mean? That's through sickness and through health. And I hope she could, I know she could say I've been there with her through some things. And she's been there through me with some things. Through sickness and through health. Amen? Amen. Galatians 6 and 9. Galatians 6 and 9. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessings if we don't give up. Amen? Through sickness and health. Our main text this morning was from Ephesians 4, 2 and 3. And it summed it up. It all sums up with love. I'll spend a few minutes here. Some of you probably know about this. We're going to sum it up with love. And this love and this specific scripture has to do with agape love. And agape love, we understand it as that unconditional love. I love what it says in the Greek when you look it up. It says the unconditional love that serves regardless of circumstances. Regardless of the circumstance, agape love is going to serve anyway. They're going to serve. C.S. Lewis, the great writer, wrote an interesting study. If you guys are interested, maybe you've read it before, but C.S. Lewis wrote a study called The Four Loves. And in all his Bible study, and he was a brilliant man, you know, and theologian and writer, and all his Bible studies and his Greek studies, he identified and it was penned as the four loves. And we talked about that a little bit in Sunday school. There's the storge. I think I'm pronouncing that right. I might be messing it up. But it's about family affection. It's like family affection love that we have for our family, you know, is that love. And then we have the philia love, which is the friendship love, the brotherly loves. Where in the Greek, it's called this. It's interesting. It's called philadelphia. Philadelphia. That's how it's pronounced in the Greek. Philadelphia. And we pronounce it how? Philadelphia, you know, the city of brotherly love. I thought that's kind of cool. And then there's a romantic love, that Eros, is that how you pronounce it? Eros is the romantic love. And then the agape love, which is the spiritual love, the unconditional love that I believe the only God can really demonstrate. And, you know, that's the supernatural love that comes from God. Now, as we understand family, friendship, and romance types of love, I believe that those are definitely expressed through our human emotions. You know, we can definitely have these emotions, you know, we call them, you know, I don't even want to get into that, but it causes emotions. But I believe that agape love comes only by expressed through the grace of God through Jesus Christ. And I also believe that the only way a person can express this kind of love, okay, now, stay with me on this one, is that when we share with another human being the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it's not about me, it's about what Christ did on the cross, right? And if I have someone that's unbeliever, I can share the love of God. I can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with this person. And I believe that God flows through me with this agape love and the Holy Spirit drawing this person into salvation. But again, it's really not doing anything with me, right? Okay, maybe I'm obedient, you know, to the great, you know, commandment and the great commission and all that. But that agape love is from Christ, it's from God. It's the John 3:16, right? God so loved the world. The Holy Spirit, I believe, is able to move through us and through the Word of God, penetrating that sinner's heart. Romans 5:8. Then we'll close it up here. Romans 5:8. But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us when we were yet sinners. John 13:34 and 35. I'll read it. So now I am giving you a new commandment, to love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Okay? So, in this message today, I want to encourage you guys in your interactions with each other, okay, especially with our spouse, we should be what? Humble, gentle, and patient with each other. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this time. I pray, Lord, that you renew our spirits, that you renew our covenant agreements of marriage. To renew our passion for each other and our just love for our spouse. Lord, I pray if there's a couple today, Lord, that may be struggling, that through this message and through your word, Lord, that you would melt their hearts, that you would humble any pride that may be there, or any resentments, any wedges, or strongholds from the enemy, Father. And I pray over these marriages. I plead the blood of Jesus over these marriages, Father. If there's one that needs to be healed, that you heal that relationship. Or if there's one here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray that they'll come down to the altar and give their life to Christ. And the Bible says today is the day of salvation. And if anyone wants to join the church, Lord, I pray they'll get with me or one of the deacons and we can talk about that. Lord, I pray for tonight too, Lord. It'll be a precious time that we can have fun and we can grow. And we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.